This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. The year is 2018. You're a small-town Maryland cop. You want to be Baltimore, but you're suburbs. But sometimes you're going to Baltimore just to raise a little hell. Because that's
help,
what you can
help,
do.
Officer. Officer. That man stole my crab cakes.
Sorry, I'm not a cop around here. I'm in the suburbs. I can't be hanging out here in Baltimore.
They're my crab cakes. They're all I have.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll get in trouble if I try to go get your crab cakes. You understand? You got to go talk to McNulty or Bunk.
Hey, man, you from Boston?
Huh?
You from around here?
It's all the same, isn't it?
In it? Wait a second.
It's all the same, isn't it?
Are you an actor studying for a role on The Wire, a show that ended many years ago?
I am in constant contact with David Simon, praying that he'll bring it back. He's always doing Baltimore stuff. He had the other one with the guy that played The Punisher.
We Own the City. Yeah, of course, The Corner, Homicide, Life on the Street. It's not important right now. My crab cakes are gone. I'm ruined.
Why you didn't eat your scuba tangs in the doobla dang?
Now that's a Baltimore cop I've ever heard.
Why you? Hey, I want, how many crab cakes was it? Was it two?
Two. It's two. Yeah.
It was two crab cakes.
Oh my gosh, this guy's all over the place.
Anyway, so you get home and all you want, you finally got the day off. And you turn on television and the draft is happening. And it's the beginning of the second round. And the Baltimore Ravens are on the clock.
Where?
With the 32nd pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson, quarterback, University of Louisville. Your day is ruined. Your day is ruined. You hate this guy. All he does is run the ball. He doesn't play the game the right way.
He's a fucking running back.
You call your buddy on the phone. I can't believe this. I'm pissed.
Oh, tell me about it, bro. The guy, he's a fucking running back. He's not going to be able. We got no one to throw to. Stick with Flacco. We won a fucking championship with fucking Flacco. What, are we going to kick him to the curb?
We are really upset that Joe Flacco is no longer the quarterback. And you just picked this Florida thug.
I'm telling you right now, if we kick Flacco to the curb 5 years from now, he's going to be fucking crushing it. We're going to be killing ourselves, hating ourselves for letting him go. The disrespect.
And though that may be true, for some very odd reason, this is not the great attitude to have. And as year after year after year goes by, the Ravens maintain a pretty solid season every year. Did they make it to the NFC Championship 1 year? Or AFC Championship?
Nah.
Or they lost in the semis?
I mean, you're telling us what to picture, so you can picture whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, he's been good this whole time. But you have hung on to that he's a running back thing. You really have hung on to it.
Spending Christmas alone this year. Didn't get
Dad,
an invite?
I can't bring Carol and the kids around you anymore. Why? You just keep saying, because I know what you mean when you say running back. I know what you want to say. And you tried saying naysayer, too, and I saw right through that.
You tell that man I will not be bringing my kids to his house. I don't care if he is their grandfather. Okay?
Carol, I'm handling this, okay?
Yeah, you better handle it. You better goddamn handle it.
Dad.
I know what he means.
Ooh, where's the pants in that household, son?
Carol! You. Carol does. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I still have people in my life. You can wear all the pants you want alone, Dad.
You married Carol Burnett?
I thought you could still have kids.
Well, now look at you. Egg on your face. Because that MVP, already MVP winning quarterback, is hopefully about to win another one. And what position does he play now?
Well, he's got to say it. He's going to say it. Dad, say it, and I'll come back quarter. In your life.
Come on, quarter. Say it to me.
Quarter.
Is he trying to say water?
Quarter.
Say it to me. To me.
What?
Say the oomph dang and the doogla dang.
Running back.
No.
Hey, you're a shot on duty. Because it's because it's Lamar Jackson Appreciation Day.
Shoot the back.
Everyone make sure to go out and shoot an on-duty cop and appreciation of Lamar Jackson. That's how we celebrate. Yeah, he sewed it up. That kind of came out of nowhere in the last couple weeks. I mean, not out of nowhere, but like he really sewed it up over like a 2 week span. Like he was hanging or he was like, it was like in the Kentucky Derby when there's that horse in like fourth or fifth place for like the whole run. And at the end, it's just like zoom, like,
you know,
bye.
It's pretty wild because on my fantasy team for our league, I'm probably going to have the guys who finish first and second in MVP voting. And at no point this year did I feel like I had the two MVPs of the league on my team.
Who else did you have besides?
I had Lamar Jackson and I have Brock Purdy.
Oh, well, there's your... they both play the same
They both play the same position. At no point did they ever really score like MVPs on a regular basis. Brock Purdy would throw for four touchdowns and somehow have 12 points.
That's the thing is like, in fantasy, you want that Blake Bortles guy. You want that guy who's chucking it, you know? You don't want the guy who's, like, even Hurts last year while still being good was, like, sitting in the fourth quarter every week because they're blowing teams out. That's right. The guy who wins the MVP. He doesn't put up the gaudy. I bet in that year Jameis Winston threw 30 picks, I bet he had a pretty decent fantasy season because the way the scoring is set up, it doesn't punish you that much.
He had 30 touchdowns, 30 picks, and led the league in passing yards.
He had like 5,000 passing yards.
Last year, I had Mahomes on a couple of teams during his MVP season, and I definitely felt like I had the MVP of the league.
Yeah, well, it's not always true like that. In your Peyton Manning, Breeze, Mahomes years, they're still putting up numbers. And Lamar's first MVP season, he won a lot of people fantasy chips, I bet. Speaking of which, boys...
Oh yeah!
Ring the bell, Kevin.
Light the beam.
If you look over Eagle Rock, California, you can see a big beam projecting the words "Comedian destroys Eckler."
And helicopters crashing into the mountains.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me.
Our very own foosballian Greg Gallant has won the inaugural Foosballs Football League, the FFL.
Giving and credit to all of us.
Yes, to you guys here, to the fans, we all did it. Not by a wide margin. If you'll recall, I beat Hassan by less than half a point in the semis. I beat Hayes by just over a point in the finals, thanks to two people, really. One of whom, Harrison Butker. Do you have five field goals or six field goals, Ryan?
Six.
Six field goals. That's why you have kickers in fantasy, baby.
Absolutely.
I know we talked about this at the beginning of the year, and I'm pretty sure I said I like kickers in fantasy, but if someone goes and pulls that clip and I was like, get him out of here, it would be pretty funny because He was my second highest scorer, within a point of my highest scorer, which was Brandon Ayuk, who saved my butt in week in the 70s.
You could say ass.
Saved my ass, man. Ayuk saved my ass. He saved my poop shoot. He saved my fudge factory. He saved it all.
Diarrhea squirter?
Yeah, he saved most often the diarrhea squirter, yeah. And now I'll have that diarrhea in peace, thanks to Brandon Ayuk, the player my dog told me to draft. I think next year I might try to have the dog make all my picks for me because it worked out. And as if the week couldn't get any better for me, the Michigan Wolverines.
My gosh.
In defiance of our parlay and in defiance of a pretty big emotional hedge that I put on Alabama. So that if my team loses, I get a financial reward. And if they win, I don't miss the money. Pulled it out in a kind of wild game. A kind of great day for as much as the semifinals of the college football playoff have been maligned fairly for years, the last 2 years have fucking delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you do that same thing I do with the Clippers. That's how I bet on the Clippers. If they're playing, I will bet on the other team just so – if they win, we get the dub, and I don't miss the money. Yeah. But I never do. I always do money line. I can't do the spread because they have fucked me up against that spread so many times.
unless your team is favored, because then I took Bama +2. So what I really wanted in overtime was Bama to score the touchdown and then miss the extra point, and then Michigan could win, and I could win the bet. But whatever. I don't do it all the time, but the reason I had the money in my account was because I bet against the Braves against the Phillies in the playoffs, and so I had that money just sitting there for 3 months.
Such a strain.
I know. Well, there hadn't been a big game in that time. And then Michael Penix Jr. put on a fucking show last night. They almost blew it with some bad clock management and bad injury luck.
I mean, that luck was bad.
Imagine that. Like, I'm watching that game, especially the fourth quarter. Lamar is having chili night. Lamar Jackson, he likes to celebrate with chili night. It's called running back chili night. No, I'm just kidding. It was Lamar Woods, Lamar's having chili night, and I'm over there watching this game. I'm the only person who's watching this damn game. And everybody else is not invested in me. And this shit, yeah. And this shit is getting so. And Ann Maddox is asking me questions. I'm like, Ann,
I don't know.
Yeah. Does anybody ever make a suplex tackle? I go, Ann, I don't. Ann.
This is.
Then they can't. But they can't.
Yeah.
This is my wife every time I watch it, like a stressful Clippers game. And she's like, I think if you pick up a player and dunk him through the hoop, it should be 4 points. And I was like, you've made that joke 100 times.
You're a comedy writer.
You've tweeted it at least 3.
But yeah, we was watching a game. It was so crazy that with 38 seconds left on the clock and no timeouts, that Texas team still could have won that game.
Wow.
That's the thing that happens to me in Madden, though, when you're trying to milk the clock and your player gets injured and it costs you a timeout and stops. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. Yeah. And then I have to remember that in real life, it's also like a real human being that got injured. But I feel like if I were the coach, I'd still be like, fucking limp off, dude.
Yeah, limp off. Limp off. Stand,
I promise
stand
you,
up.
That's what the coach is thinking. Not about the well-being of the player.
No. He looked like he was really hurt, too.
Like, he's not ass into the transfer portal, motherfucker.
Is he going to play in the natty? Because he looked like he was hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it. But yeah, it doesn't look good. I just caught the last minute of that game. I'm driving back to Los Angeles right now. And got in just in time. Literally turned on the TV as that injury happened.
Man.
And then my eyes rolled back into my head and I levitated for a few minutes because I believe I caused it.
Yeah. Michigan pass rushed the shit out of Alabama. It was kind of crazy. Michigan, it was weird. Did either of you get to watch that game?
I couldn't watch that one. We went to I watched a little bit on my phone. I was forced to go to a New Year's Day brunch.
Sure.
Which was good. I needed to get out of the house and not stay in the bed all day.
Yeah.
Who forced you?
Friends. Yeah. He's like, we're going to get brunch. We're going to get brunch, brunch, brunch. I go, all right, fine. I am kind of hungry.
New Year's brunch is a great way to just kill resolutions in their crib. It's where resolutions go to die immediately.
Yeah, because you drink. You say, I'm not going to drink, and then you drink a mimosa.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Well, I did not drink at this brunch.
Wow.
I had a glass of tequila last night, but I did not drink at this brunch.
I always feel like shit when I drink at a brunch. I can't do it. I don't like brunch in general. I get antsy.
Really?
It's like brunches last for like 4 hours. By the end of it, it's like, all right, can we go? Sit here talking forever. I'm not drinking.
Brunch me is bad if the food is bad. If the food is bad at a brunch, the brunch sucks. If you get to a brunch, okay, I'm not gonna say who it is, but because I love I love that I was invited to their wedding, and I love that but it's an interracial couple. I was there as a guest of the groom, and there was a brunch the next day at the bride's house with her family, and I'm excited. I'm like, ooh, pancakes, bacon, sausage, eggs, grits, hash browns, toast. And it was like, quiche. And I have talked mad shit about quiche. I don't never want a quiche, especially a mini-ass quiche. Like, I just want some. Like, after we partied all night at that damn reception the night before, and I woke up sort of hungover, I want some
greasy. Yeah.
I want some greasy shit. Like, I want to eat 12 strips of bacon.
And all right, now, Ryan.
I love mini quiches, especially like the frozen, the frozen ones. And they were actually like my favorite like football snack when I was a kid, watching Chiefs games, just like eat frozen quiches. And one time I remember I was with my mom in the car with a friend and middle school. And she goes, oh, I got to go by the grocery store later. Do you want me to pick anything up? And I was like, yeah, get some mini queefs. And my friend and I, we looked at each other. She's like, what? Quiches, mini quiches. And there was no recognition there. So I guess my mom doesn't know what a queef is.
Well, at least she knows now.
I mean, she knows what it is.
She doesn't know the word for it. Wow.
Well, mom, if you are listening to this, never bring this up to me.
You missed a good game. It was a really bizarre one where Michigan, had they lost, it would have been the first time I was like, they lost that game by being fully dominated on special teams, because they missed an extra point on a botched snap. They missed a long field goal. Alabama hit a long field goal. Alabama's punter was crushing balls all game. Michigan muffed a punt early on that gave Alabama their first touchdown. So it was like, huge swing in the field position game constantly. But then Alabama had a few botched snaps on offense in the second half that killed a drive. They had two in a row that killed a drive when they were cruising in the third. And then if you look at the last play, have you seen the last play that they're getting clowned for on fourth and goal from the four? It's like a quarterback.
The quarterback draw.
Quarterback draw by Milroe.
Dak Prescott sort of
creamed him. Yeah, almost a butt fumble looking play, really.
Yeah.
But I will say, him using his feet was one of the best things they had going for him, because at one point they had six dropbacks and had been sacked four times. That's how crazy Michigan's pass rush was.
Now, let me tell you this. I'll say this in front of our probably predominantly white audience. And y'all know, I can't stand when they tell Lamar Jackson that he's a running back. But Milroe, if you don't get your ass on, if you don't go wide in trips out there, like, you will not be playing quarterback in my NFL, sir.
Hey, you know, I love Denard Robinson to death. Shoelace, man, he was awesome as Michigan's QB. And then he was a pretty good running back for a year with the Jags. You know, there's no shame in it. But yeah, Milroe. But if you look at that last play, there was someone making a case online that it was an RPO and they had their running back out in the flat for a swing pass that looked really well set up. But again, the snap was low. And
by the time center was Milroe, having a ton of problems, right?
by the time Milroe fields it, the outside linebacker is in that passing lane and he just has no choice but to run it up. So I think that's why Saban was so understandably pissed. But
that's not like that.
I have one other thing I wanted to talk about with college football, unless you guys have other stuff before we move on to the NFL.
Yeah.
I made a quick little list of the craziest facts I saw about Iowa's offense. we touched on, I think we took the over on the, what was the over under that you took the over on for Iowa? It didn't matter because Michigan.
It was over 36 and the final score was 35-0.
Okay, so that's fact number one. All right, let me hit you with these guys. I put them in what I think is ascending order here. Number one, Iowa had 234.7 yards per game, which was the worst of any Big Ten team since Kirk Ferentz took over at Iowa in 1999, almost 25 years. So worst offense by yards in 25 years. They were shut out consecutively in the bowl game and the Big Ten title game. It was the first time they've been shut out twice in a row since 1966, since LBJ was in office. This one is crazy. In their last 27 games against Power 5 schools, they've had multiple passing touchdowns one time.
Oh my God.
Over a 27-game span. This one I love. Tight end Eric All, because at least we know Iowa churns out tight ends, right? He was their leading receiver on the season. He tore his ACL in week 7 and led the team with 299 receiving yards. Okay.
How has this guy also been mentioned as a possible NFL head coaching candidate? Like every 4 or 5 years, it feels like his name.
Ferentz?
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
I think it's definitely... That's definitely faded over probably the past like few years, but there was a time where I remember when the Chiefs had head coaching vacancies, he was a guy whose name was thrown about. I think he was mentioned at times like in connection to maybe the Lions job every time they had an opening.
It would make sense from a defensive point of view, because here's the crazy thing. They're a ranked team. Like,
yeah.
So this stat blows my mind to complement their defense. So there are before this year, there were 7 teams ever in the Power 5 conferences that were shut out 3 times in one season. Happened to Rutgers 3 times, Baylor twice, Duke, and Washington State. The combined record of those 7 teams was 13-70. Best record of any of those teams was Baylor in 2002, going 3-9. Iowa went 10-4. So in games where they scored a point, they were 10-1. That's how good their defense was. If you score 1 point,
you
have an over 90% chance of winning.
You must have some like equally amazing Iowa defense factoids.
I get. No. Just that. I mean, I'm giving him a fucking shout out. How much do you want? I don't know who the Sam linebacker is for Iowa.
He's going to be a Detroit Lions first round pick this year, probably. But
oh yeah, that quarterback who?
That Tennessee quarterback. I'm going to leave her. Like he looked really good.
Who's filled in for Joe Milton?
Yeah, huge. Is Joe Milton going to the league this year? Did he not want to play?
No, it was interesting because the starting quarterbacks would have been Joe Milton and Cade McNamara, who were both formerly Michigan guys.
Yeah.
But McNamara got hurt and Milton sat the bowl game out. I mean, he's going to try to go to the – he has a huge, strong-ass arm, but I don't know. I don't know if everything else is there.
Jamarcus Russell-style arm. That dude can throw 80 yards from his knees.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy. But the kid that filled in for him is like a kid from out here.
Is he
from like Norwalk High or something like that? And
he bought out
a lot of NIL money.
I bet, yeah,
a ton of NIL money, and he was like one of the better quarterbacks in high school football this last year.
Right,
and
he's a freshman, isn't he? Yeah,
yeah.
And both, I mean, looks good for Tennessee right now.
Yeah, yeah. He played well. I don't know what Iowa's defense like. I don't know if they sat all their guys. But we can't not We can't stop talking about college football before we talk about Florida State.
Oh yeah, wait, let me do one more. I have one more. Oh yeah,
my bad, my favorite one.
My favorite Iowa fact. So we know their punter, Torrey Taylor, set the all-time punting record with 4,479 yards. Okay, so team in history has ever punted for more yards than they have gained in total offense. It's never happened. Iowa did it this year by a margin of 1,232 yards. So it's never happened before, and they just did it by over 1,200 yards. That's
wow. Wait, they had 4,300 something yards punting?
The one guy had 4,400 punting yards.
That's more than Patrick Mahomes' passing yards this year in going into week 18.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's like quarterback MVP yardage numbers. All right, I just wanted to get all those out. And now we can talk about another embarrassing team, which was Florida State after all the complaining, which maybe was justified complaining that they didn't get to go to the playoffs. And then they got, the final score of that game?
63-3. Now, with that being said, I do think out of protest, a lot of their guys sat, which I disagree with, maybe. Because it's like, bro, just play. Like, prove everybody wrong.
Yeah, you got to play.
You proved everybody extra right.
Yeah.
Everybody, all your naysayers, all them damn naysayers out there, bumping their loud music, driving down the street, wearing their pants under the ass. You proved all of them right.
Under the ass?
Yeah.
All the way under the ass. Don't even got
to
pull it
down. They have to go to surgery.
You proved all them right. And, I mean, come on, man. Like, 63-3.
That's what should happen, like, when Florida plays, like, Bethune-Cookman in week two. You know what I mean? That's,
yeah, right.
That shouldn't be a score after Labor Day.
I did think that Georgia was going to win that game because Georgia was the number one team all season.
Yeah.
So, like, I thought they were definitely going to meet a match there. But, like, Washington really proved that those types of schools can pull off. Like, they almost lost. But they didn't. They didn't lose. That's the main point. And what you saw from Florida State in that game was atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Michigan's favored by like 4.5 against Washington. But I'll tell you, I'm worried. And A, because I'm a pessimist and I always think bad things are going to happen. But like, the thing that Michigan has done these last few years is play great defense, run the ball. And, like, then they run into teams at the end of the year. Before that, it was Ohio State. And then it became, like, your TCUs, your Georgias, who can air it out. And they just can't – like, when you run into this actual incredible air offense that almost doesn't exist in the Big Ten outside of Ohio State, they can't stop it. And Alabama wasn't that team. Like, luckily enough for us, like, Georgia probably would have smoked us. And I think Washington is – now, our defense is 1,000 times better than Texas – but I do still think that, like, if you look at some of the throws Penix made last night, like, he's the real deal. I don't know. I could see them scoring a lot against Michigan. And if Michigan has to play from behind and McCarthy has to throw it, I don't know.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. I feel like there's a really good chance that the narrative around Penix could change dramatically with a big game on Monday. He's right now, he's sort of like a fringe first round pick. I think he probably elevated himself to a solid late first round guy. But if he plays great and is accurate, throw himself into the top 10, top 15. He's definitely QB4.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think he's like the most similar playing style to CJ Stroud, but the narrative is so similar because it's like, what everyone was saying about Stroud last year of like his receivers are so talented. He never has to improvise. His line is so good. But like
played big games.
And he played big against Georgia last year, which was like basically an NFL caliber defense. Stroud did. So like if Penix goes out and can do that against Michigan's pretty goddamn good defense, I feel like you can't ignore that.
It's going to happen.
I don't know.
Greg?
I know he's 24 and he's got two ACL tears or whatever, but like, he can throw the football. We can't, this guy, I feel like that's what people, I know Stroud still went like, what, second or whatever, but it was like everyone was down on him. And it's like, he can throw the football, man. That's the most, like, at the end of the day.
They keep saying he can't throw, and I don't know where that's come from. Because every game I watch, he's throwing bombs.
And who says he can't? Who says who can't throw? Penix?
Yeah, the running back crew. Like, they say.
Out of their mind.
Yeah. No. They say that.
Now, I'm as racist as the day is long, but that's crazy.
I don't know, man. I want him to be a New England Patriot.
Penix?
Oh, just to see the Patriots fans go crazy?
I don't know. No, I don't know where I want him. I want him or Caleb to play, or Joe Milton. I want one of them to play for the Raiders.
Oh, Jaden Daniels with the Raiders would be pretty.
Yeah,
it could be pretty fun too. If we're going to talk, if we want to segue into the NFL, we can talk some draft order. So the Bears have locked up the number one pick via the Carolina Panthers, something Carl and I both correctly predicted at the beginning of the year. So now the big question is, what do the Bears do? Justin Fields is playing better.
Yeah.
He made some throws and some escapes that were incredible this week in the snow.
Yeah.
My thoughts on that is they need to keep him, and they need to trade that pick for some other players that help them. Where are their weaknesses? Receiver. They got Elijah Moore, I guess. Is that their number one guy?
They got DJ Moore. Yeah, DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, not Elijah Moore.
Who's been great.
Yeah.
He's great.
They need a number two bad. Darnell Mooney hasn't really panned out.
Claypool was a big bust for them. Oh,
boy, was that a big bust.
Claypool it tanks the team wherever he goes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's all right as a rookie.
Yeah.
And then you picked him that next year. I did. I picked him that next year, and he was not good.
I've had Chase Claypool in a few fantasy leagues. Every year I get burned by James Mastriani Steelers hype, and Chase Claypool is definitely one of them. Based on his athletic testing, he's basically supposed to be the next Calvin Johnson, according to James.
You know how Calvin Johnson went in the second round?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in a lot of quarterback years, like if this were the Kenny Pickett class, I'd be like, yeah, keep Fields in a heartbeat. The thing that makes it so tough this year is that like Caleb and Drake May are really fucking good.
And honestly, even I think right now I would take a swing on Jaden Daniels over Fields, just because Jaden Daniels is so, so accurate.
I mean, I like Fields, but like when the Niners moved off of Trey Lance, they got like a second or third round pick back for him, right?
I think they got a fourth from Dallas.
All right. So what you're getting for Fields would have to be significantly better than what they got for Lance.
You're easily you're definitely getting at least you're probably getting a high second round pick at least.
Or a late first, yeah.
Yeah. The only issue is because he's going to be going into like year four, you're going to have to pay him eventually. And I don't think he's done quite enough to make you feel like, yes, absolutely, let me give this guy $45 million a year. You kind of would have to play sort of like a Daniel Jones game with him a little bit. So I'm of the opinion, if you've got that first round pick and you've got somebody like Caleb Williams, I think you got to take Caleb Williams and then trade Fields while his value is incredibly high, and keep building there, because they're also going to have, they still have Carolina's or their own first round pick this year, which is looking like it'll be top 10, top 12.
Really? Yeah.
Like they can really change their team in so many different ways. That's why it's so difficult for them, because also at the same time, if you wanted to keep Justin Fields, that first round pick this year is so, so valuable. Imagine if your team, the year Andrew Luck came out. Washington gave up so much just to get up to number two to get RG3. the ransom you could get for that first overall pick right now for to get Caleb Williams, even if you just wanted to, if you move down to three, which could be either New England or Washington, you could probably get an extra two first round picks out of it. And so you end up with Justin Fields and Marvin Harrison Jr. And then whoever you take with your 10th pick, either like build up that defensive line or your offensive line, you could set your team up for a long time, but you've got to be certain that you can go that Justin Fields can at least keep pace with Caleb Williams, you know? Yeah.
They don't take wide receivers number one overall. Do you think Marvin Harrison could go number one overall? Do you think that any of these teams will draft? Do you think that the Bears would draft like how I draft the fantasy football team, always take a wide receiver at number one?
Any other year, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think would be the first overall pick. The quarterbacks are too good this year.
Yeah, I love a good quarterback draft.
It makes it so much more fun.
It's a great offensive draft in general because obviously it's a great quarterback draft. I keep hearing also about how good of a tackle draft it is. You've got Olu Fashanu from Penn State and Joe Alt from Notre Dame are both
top the guy five-ish. We talked about a couple of weeks ago that gets mocked to the Saints. Who's that guy, Carl?
From Georgia. I don't know his name.
He's kind of rising up. It's not a great defensive draft class from what I gather. Yes,
Amarius Mims.
Yeah. You've got some pretty good cornerbacks, I think.
Plus edge the wideouts with Harrison, wideout with Harrison and all the Washington guys, you know, like
as good as the quarterback class is, and it's a really good quarterback class, going into the second round, the wide receiver class this year is fucking bananas. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell from Texas last night, who looked really good. Roma Dunze, who is maybe he's wide receiver too. Between him and Nabers, it's such a fucking awesome wide receiver class. Like fun wide receivers too. Like the year the Drake London, Olave, Garrett Wilson year, that was a really good wide receiver class. But they all had just kind of their niche that they were really really good at. These guys are just playmakers, like crazy, crazy guys.
All three of those dudes that you just mentioned leave so much to be desired.
Oh yeah.
Now maybe none of them in a great situation. Or Drake, none of them have a great quarterback. Like Derek Carr just ain't got it no more. He ain't got the juice. Desmond Ridder is kind of making his way up, but it ain't there yet. Who do you think is better, Jordan Love or Desmond Ridder?
Oh, Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, Desmond Ridder. Not even close.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder's, I think he's done in Atlanta. I think
is he even still starting?
He is.
They've been kind of bouncing back between him
Tyler
and
Tyler Heineke.
Yeah. He Fields to Atlanta, people talk about a lot, and actually, I really like it. I think that could be really exciting, especially,
awesome.
I mean,
tight.
I would love to find a way for Arthur Smith to ruin Justin Fields, too.
I mean.
But I think Arthur Smith is done. I think he's out.
The problem is, like, if the season ended right now, Atlanta would be picking, like, ninth. And to get from nine to, like...
I mean, we've got a ton of...
Yeah, never mind. Yeah.
We've got a ton of playoff things to go through. But, yeah, they could be either picking ninth, tenth, or in the 20s because they win the NFC South. So...
Yeah.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Should we talk some playoff scenarios, Ryan?
Oh, I'd love to.
Can we start with the NFC South? Because I got to give a shout out to my Saints who surprised me this weekend and beat them damn Tampa Bay Buccaneers handily, which now puts us still in second place for some reason. But how does this work? Like, who owns the tiebreaker or whatever? Because we now have the same record. The Bucs own it, but we have it goes by strength of schedule, right?
It goes division record, and then I believe head to head. But so, record. And I believe because for in a division,
head is first, right?
No, it's division to win your division. It's the division record. Whoever has the best record within division matches is the champ, and then I believe head to head is the tiebreaker there. And head to head usually comes more into play in seeding for conference.
Gotcha.
So okay. Yeah, in this situation. So it's kind of crazy. Their division, the division record actually for the three teams in contention, they're all at 3-2. And then the Bucks have the better conference record, which I think maybe is next for divisional standings. So they're at 6-5. But for whatever reason, just messing around with the playoff machine, if the Bucks win, regardless of what happens with Saints, Falcons, they're the champion, the NFC South champion, and they've obviously
and
got
they
the easier.
Play?
They got the Panthers, so that's good for them. But hey, you know what? Yeah. I hear those Panthers, they're spitting mad these days. They got a lot of fight in them.
They're sneaking up. Yep. They're sneaking up. What's it called?
They're throwing drinks on people.
They
got fined $300,000 for that. I personally will pay that fine because I hate fans.
I've paid more for a drink in L.A. Am I right, you guys?
Okay. Yeah. So what's the deal with these fucking – everybody's a vegan here.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started.
Everybody is a vegan, skinny, fucking blonde, huge tits.
I was talking to my dog's therapist.
Tiny ass.
He has a really tiny ass.
My dog's therapist got a real tiny ass.
Huge tits.
Am I right?
Always passing a screenplay along to me.
Me doing this material in a fucking comedy club in Amarillo, Texas.
It's fucking
like,
slay.
Why are these jokes not hitting?
Oh, no, you're bombing?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think these would hit.
So yeah, the NFC South, there's definitely some intrigue. Like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. We've seen so many crazy Week 18 upsets that, sure, why the Bucks coming off a really kind of ugly loss. Maybe Baker, you know, he can be a bit all over the place, very unpredictable.
Yeah. So he almost got us back this year. This past week, he was coming alive at the end of that game.
Yeah. But
in a lot of seasons, he'd have a case for comeback player of the year, but not this year.
He's not even, I mean, one, you've got the guy who's like, I guess we got to give it to DeMar Hamlin.
And then Joe Flacco now.
And the guy who should get it is probably Joe Flacco. It's like, okay, I guess DeMar Hamlin, your heart started beating again. Great. Now we got to give you an award.
Isn't life all the award he needs?
Yeah. I think maybe
we'll drum up some
award for the EMTs, okay? Because
first of all, DeMar Hamlin is a clone.
Aaron Rodgers, he'll tell you. Did you see Aaron Rodgers suggested that Jimmy Kimmel is going to be on the Epstein flight logs?
Does he not like him? Did they not get along?
No, I guess Kimmel did a joke about it once, and now he's like, Kimmel's going to be on the flight logs. He's really lost it, man.
Oh, I'm guessing Rogers has probably had a couple of jokes at his expense for COVID stuff because Kimmel's pretty vocal about that stuff. Kimmel's going to be on the Epstein flight log. Anyway, so these playoff scenarios, man, we've got some wild ones. The craziest, obviously, the big game of the weekend, Sunday Night Football. I feel like, you know, every year we get one of these, you know, winning you're in or like division championship games. This one feels like the most stakes like that I can remember. This one feels so fun. And especially because it's a toss up. Like normally I think I would predict the Dolphins to win, but man, that one, they just got their fucking asses kicked. And they lost probably their second best defensive player to an ACL injury. And in a lot of ways, because they're already down a pass rusher, Bradley Chubb tore his ACL.
Weren't they down already like 30 with like 3 minutes to go when he tore his ACL?
McDaniel's going to catch and shit for that one because like you could not you lost Jalen Phillips already for the season. You can't afford to lose your guy who's also been playing really, really well. Yeah. And the defense had been playing really well because he had been doing so well. So to lose him now before this game feels like just like the juju is terrible around the Dolphins. But man, if you've been watching the Bills the past couple of weeks, they've been winning games against some pretty shitty teams. But man, they have looked awful doing it. And
I mean, beating New England by three is embarrassing. I think we can all agree on that.
For sure, and especially because New England spotted them like a ton of points. They had four turnovers, some like pick sixes, stuff like that. So the Patriots did everything they could to give the Bills the game in the first half, and then the second half was the Bills trying to return the favor as best they could. And I don't know. Like I think the Dolphins win, and I think that there's a real chance that the Bills don't make the playoffs because of it. Because so the scenario is first game of the weekend, Saturday afternoon, to really kick off and potentially just really create a ton of chaos is Greg Steelers at the Ravens, who have nothing to play for. The Ravens
presumably
have
presumably no Lamar.
Insane if Lamar plays. Absolutely bananas. No reason to play Lamar. If only the only reason you want to play Lamar is because the last time they had the top seed locked up and they sat him the last week of the season, he didn't play for 2 weeks and then came out real, real cold, and they got upset in the divisional round of the playoffs. Because I believe so if they sit Lamar, the last game he'll have played was December 31st, and then his next game would be either 21st January 20th or 21st. So ooh, that's a long, long time between playing games.
Are there no saunas or steam rooms at the facility that could keep him warm? Maybe a jacket, a Mylar blanket, something like that that could perhaps keep him warm. Like I feel like when we say that, like, oh, man, he came out cold. Like, he hadn't played in a couple weeks. It's like, there's practice.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, run. Go every day. Run.
The Chiefs have nothing to play for this weekend. And there are some people say, like, no, you know what? The Chiefs, they need to get some more reps. Try to get that offense together. It's like, if they got 2 weeks to do that on the practice field, I do not need to see Travis Kelce out there trying to get some game reps. I think he's got to figure it out.
Yeah.
No, there's no reason you play Lamar this weekend. This is a Tyler Huntley game. No, I mean, Lamar. Sit that defense. No Kyle Hamilton. No Madubuke.
I mean, Tyler Huntley's perfectly capable of beating the Steelers. I think we saw.
Oh, I know. Yeah, there's a lot of if the Ravens don't play their starters that the Steelers are going to win. I'm not 1,000% sold on that. But I do think that the Steelers kind of have something going right now. For the first time all season, their offense is cooking. And, I mean, for the Ravens having arguably the best regular season they've ever had, it would be a nice little cherry on the top to end the Steelers season at home. I'm going to go ahead and just, I think the Steelers are going to win. So if the Steelers win and then the Jaguars beat the Titans, which, you know, especially if Trevor Lawrence plays, that feels very, you know, agreeable. And the Dolphins beat the Bills are out of the playoffs. So the Bills, they could potentially be going into Sunday Night Football, either playing for the two seed in the AFC playoffs or gone, going home.
Wow.
It's nuts.
What a swing.
Huge swing.
Did y'all see that? We didn't talk about this. I just saw this right now. Jets waived Dalvin Cook with one game remaining.
I did just see this before we started. It sounds like they want to give him an opportunity to maybe sign with a team that needs a team going into the playoffs that would need a running back.
Come on, sign with the Ravens.
Oh, I mean, didn't he only carry the ball like 30 times all year?
He's got to have some fresh legs.
I saw someone joking that if Dalvin Cook rushes for 1,200 yards this week, he gets a $400,000 bonus in his contract. Because remember, he signed that deal that was so incentives heavy and that he never fucking played.
Well, I would like to invite Dalvin Cook to join the likes of LeSean McCoy and Le'Veon Bell and Melvin Gordon joining the Chiefs, and Ronald Jones joining the Chiefs as sort of cast-off veteran running backs trying to chase a ring with the Chiefs. Oh.
When you can follow in the footsteps of Ronald Jones, you do it.
Yeah, really diminishing returns each year on those running backs.
Yeah. They're going to get Bishop Sankey for the playoff run. What a great pull. I drafted his ass in fantasy as a rookie. I was like, oh, he's going to break out.
Bishop Sankey. Greg, there is a scenario, because I love playing on this playoff machine. There is a scenario
where the Steelers win and still miss the playoffs, right?
No, there's a scenario where the Steelers lose and still make the playoffs.
Still make the playoffs?
Yep.
What's that scenario? Tell me more.
So it's pretty wild. Okay, the Steelers lose. You need the, I think, Texans, Colts, doesn't matter. You need the Titans to win, and it doesn't even matter who wins. Let's see. It does not matter who wins the Dolphins-Bills matchup. Weirdly enough, the game that would be the most important to you guys is a seemingly meaningless Broncos-Raiders game. You would need the Broncos to beat the Raiders. I guess that would somehow change your strength of opponent and give you the leg up on the, I'm assuming, the Jaguars.
Wow. Chaos, man. It's chaos. There's a couple, aren't both South divisions three-way ties for first place right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so, yeah, you've...
There's no, we're not. There's only, the Falcons are 7-9.
Nope, the Falcons are in it too.
Right.
If the...
But they're not tied. How are they in it? They're not tied. They're not, they could still win the division, but they're not tied right now.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. They're right. You're right. They're 7-9. But if the Panthers beat the Bucks and the Falcons beat the Saints, then they would be the division champions. The division. Yeah,
that's fucking crazy. But there's still a wild card spot available in that, right? Or no?
Probably not to an NFC South team. So like the Rams have, I believe, the sixth seed locked up. That's theirs, yeah. And then whoever finishes second in the NFC East has the fifth seed locked up. And so then the seventh seed does get a little weird. Actually, the Saints can get the seventh seed if the Bucks beat the Panthers and the Saints beat the Falcons. They would need the Bears and Justin Fields to upset the Packers, and then the Saints would get in as the seventh seed.
Well, where's that game going to be? Let's see where that game's going to be.
And you'd also need the Cardinals to beat the Seahawks.
Easy money.
Red hot Kyler Murray. Red hot.
Red hot.
Justin Fields.
Red hot.
You could do it.
And Green Bay Packers. And that's at Lambeau. It's going to be 28 degrees out there. The Bears are not used to playing in cold weather. We got this, baby. Wait, no. No!
Should we finish up with some car locks?
Let's do it. How do we do this week? I know the college one got blown.
It wasn't hot.
It wasn't hot this week?
I don't think so. I think maybe some NFL stuff hit.
Yeah.
I just got a...
Well...
Wait, Greg, did you also... I just got a text from James saying, to both of us, Greg, you guys seeing this Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Kimmel stuff?
Yeah. It's catching up. Let's see. Patriots plus 12 hit. Bears minus 3 hit. Rams minus 6 did not hit. Packers plus 2 hit. And Ravens minus 3.5 hit. So you actually went 4 out of 5.
Yeah, those were good.
On the car locks. That's pretty good. It's just that the car lay didn't hit. And what did what was the Chargers Broncos score?
Bullshit to bullshit.
I think
you had the under 38.5. I don't remember what the score was.
That is a good question, man.
Chargers.
What a forgettable 16-9.
Yeah, truly. It's like a game lost to time.
Right. So that hit.
So actually, other than the New Year's Carlette, you only missed one pick, the Rams, and they won. They just
didn't cover the spread. So pretty good week, actually. I take it back.
See? Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Ready to quick to tell me I did something bad. You're worse than these fans.
No. By the way, you did once again win by picking against the Vikings. So whoever that was that messaged you a couple weeks ago. You're getting rich off the Vikings opponents. All right. What do we got? So we should probably pick those Saturday games. You want to do a special Saturday two-leg parlay?
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll go I think Tyler Huntley's going to surprise y'all.
Do you want the points? Steelers they get 3.5 points. You want to take them?
Yeah, Steelers are favorite by 3.5.
I'm going Ravens plus 3.5. And then?
Texans-Colts, winner gets into the playoffs.
Ooh, that's tough.
Stroud is back. Houston's Colts favorite minus 1.5.
Yeah, Colts been playing pretty good. I'm gonna go with the favorite, but I'm gonna go Texans money line.
Ooh.
All right, that's fun in a parlay. That's okay for the parlay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Baltimore plus 3.5 and Houston money line. Now let's get some locks from Sunday.
All right. Because we are playing because I picked the Steelers, I won't pick against my guys. I'm gonna pick. I need this. This is for my birthday. My birthday is this weekend.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you. I need the Saints to do it, man. Come on. The Falcons already beat us. Falcons already beat us this year. We usually split with the Falcons, so I think this is our turn. I'm going to take the Saints minus 3.
Great.
But hold on. So you're picking the Saints because it's your birthday, but you're picking against the Steelers on Saturday, which is actually a day that's really special to me, too.
What day is Saturday? What day?
You know what?
It's January
6th. January 6th, yeah. You know what? Because you said that, I'm not going to pick the Saints. I'm going to stay away from that game. I'm not going to bet on it.
Wait, actually, hold on. There might be something to this because you're picking against Mason Rudolph on January 6th.
Oh, shit. He's about to go off. Change that. Steelers minus 40.
I mean, Rudolph had his Christmas game already, and now he could have his MAGA game.
Yeah. We going Steelers. We taking the Steelers minus 3.5 on that one. I forgot that was January 6th, and Mason Rudolph is playing. And they're not playing against the Browns, so they don't have Myles Garrett to do the Lord's work.
No. All right, I'm changing this to Pitt minus 3.5.
Yeah.
And Houston money line.
Yeah. And then let's go Browns Bengals. This is gonna be interesting. Is Cincinnati minus 6? Are the Browns sitting their players?
Yeah, they're locked into the 5 seed, so they got really nothing to play for. So I'm guessing they'll be
all right. Yeah, Jake Brown has been going off. Let's go Bengals minus 6. I think that can happen. Vikings Lions.
I think the
Detroit's got it. Go ahead.
I think the Vikings have an outside shot possibly at the playoffs, so they need that. And then the Lions are playing, still fighting for that the 2 seed, which we didn't even get into that whole officiating
thing. Oh my god, we didn't even talk about that. We got to talk about it. We're gonna have to go. Like, we got to talk.
It's gonna be a long episode.
Yeah. So they called illegal touching on the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions hit a 2-point conversion. They scored late. It was 19-20 was the score, I feel like. They called illegal touching on one of the – they didn't mark one of the linemen who lined up as an eligible receiver. They didn't mark him eligible.
Right. There's some confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the refs – screwed them, of course. And of course it happens at Jerry World, because that's what goes down in Dallas.
Can I just say, I feel like the whole idea of reporting eligible is fucking stupid. I think based on whether you line up, you should either be eligible or not. Like, if you're within one dude of the center, you're not eligible. But if you, like, but if you're the third guy over from the center, you're just, it's just such a weird, is there anything like that in any other sports where you have to report? Like, it's really stupid.
It is pretty weird.
Who made the mistake? The refs got demoted. They can't ref the playoffs now.
But they're so reffing the Steelers Ravens yeah. game on Saturday.
Yeah. Huge playoff
well,
implications.
Well, yeah, they have to do January 6th yeah. game.
Yeah.
they're refs.
It's a national it's their holiday.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a whole weird thing where the idea was, I think, to use the home crowd against the Cowboys. By, you know, big two-point conversion to essentially win the game. The crowd's going to be going nuts. The idea was, and it kind of worked against them, so they sent three offensive linemen to the refs. Only one of them would declare eligible. And they did that. The ref on the, you know, they say number 54 has declared themselves eligible. They did that. They said the wrong number. It wasn't the guy that that came in to declare. So they said number 70, and I think it was like 58 or 68 yeah, was 68, the guy that was
yeah.
68 was the idea of who they wanted to declare. So the refs announced it wrong over the PA. So that one's kind of on Dan Campbell, where you got to catch that, you know, before the play gets snapped. But I think the idea is that they didn't want the defense, the players, to really hear who it was, because typically, I guess, when they send a guy in to declare eligible, their offensive, usually when they've done that in the past, it's been number 70. And so the refs call 70 as eligible. It sounds like everybody missed it over kind of like the din, the noise, all the chaos going on. And so it got fucked up. They called a penalty, and clearly just the referee wasn't paying attention, which is Oof. Super fucked up and shitty. And there's got to be a way to
there's also to all these stories that. About how apparently Dan Campbell like told him before the game, like showed them a drawing of the play, right? Didn't that
yeah,
come
he
out?
Said that
it was like this is
we're
what we're
planning
gonna
to do this, which apparently is very common when you're doing when you're planning yeah. on doing something a little crazy. You go to the refs and say, hey, just want to give you guys a heads up, we're going to be doing this. Is this going to be kosher? And usually they get the okay. But
also, apparently Roger Goodell can change the outcome of a game. I don't think he will, because it's Jerry Jones and because of the Cowboys. But apparently he has the power to change a game. That might be fake, but I did see that pop up on number one news source, Instagram.
it was on Dan
Al Jazeera.
Al
Jazeera Instagram.
I said Dan Bilzerian. It was on the news source Dan Bilzera.
Yeah.
They have some interesting takes on what's going on in the Middle East right now.
Does it feel like, because the refs have been such a point of interest in this season, it feels like we're building up to something really bad, right? Like a huge
with a gambling
fuck up.
Scandal. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, not even that. Just like it feels like they're going to fuck up the Super Bowl or the conference championship. Just we haven't gotten to the the worst of it yet.
Yeah,
I mean they are gonna fuck up a playoff game. You can guarantee that every year.
Yeah,
I hope it's not one of the last couple.
No. I think it's pretty clear that gambling now being legal in so many states and being advertised on ESPN and all that type of stuff, I think it is playing a part in what's going on.
So I have a quick, I was thinking about this today during my long drive. Here are my thoughts.
And we'll get back to our picks in a minute.
Yeah. Real quick, here's how I think you need to change to fix officiating in the NFL, because you need to have some sort of gray area there. Like, because you need, the refs need to be able to let them play. You know, you can't just be calling everything because there's penalties on every single play. So first thing I think they need to do is they need to take from the XFL on replay challenges. I think the home audience needs to hear the thought process of the referee which is something they did in the XFL. So like the referee would be reviewing the play and being like, okay, look, it seems like they don't have quite control there as the second foot gets in. So I'm going to call that an incomplete pass. And then they go and announce it to the crowd. I think just more transparency would go a long way in making the viewer at home feel better about what's going on the field. And then finally, just get another referee wearing the uniform, like up in a booth, and have them watch the game. And if my thought is during the entire game, they are able to jump in on any sort of penalty that results in a 15 yards or more. So personal fouls and pass interference. If they see something that's like super either egregiously missed or like that's not a foul, they can jump in. And then in the last 2 minutes of the game and overtime, they're able to jump in on more stuff, just so that anything that feels like a major momentum shift or game-turning play and is clearly wrong, they can jump in there. Just something that doesn't break up the flow of the game too much, but also just like makes us feel better and just eliminate major fuck-ups at the very end of the game, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't feel like it's that hard. I think something similar is coming.
I also think
robots.
Just fucking get the robots.
No, because you want the human feel, right? So my pitch is simply that to avoid conflicts of interest, that the refs be sequestered like jury members so that they don't know what the spread is. They don't know what the storylines are. They don't know who these people are. They've been raised in captivity. So we're going to need to start raising a crop of refs now for like the 2042 season.
I can't wait for all the protests that break out. Free the refs.
No. They're not real people, okay? It's fine.
They're precogs. Yeah. They sleep in baths.
That's right. And you do not call them blue. That is a major slur to them, and they will freak out. Don't call them a zebra either. Yeah. I mean, blue for the baseball ones, but don't call the football ones a zebra, man. They will flip out.
Anyway, that's my fix. That's my fix for officiating.
I agree with
NFL,
that.
NFL, just do it.
Just do it. Let's get back to these picks. I think the Lions are mad. I want justice for them. So I'm going to go and pick the Lions -3.
That's against Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jags, Titans. This is a tough one.
And it's
The Jags have been slip sliding away. This is in Nashville. Who's playing quarterback for the Titans this game? Is it Will Levis?
I think so. Honestly, I'm not quite positive who's playing quarterback for either team. I would assume Lawrence is going to try to tough it out, but I don't know. Yeah. This might be one to stay away from, honestly.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away from now. I don't know what's going on. Jets, Patriots. Let's.
I
go
got a take
under.
On this one.
Go ahead.
Okay, I've circled this one a few weeks ago. This is a Maharan T. The Patriots, Bill Belichick's likely last game in New England, playing the Jets, whom he hates the most. And if the Patriots win and Washington loses to the Cowboys, it would deny New England the second overall pick and the chance to draft a potential superstar quarterback. And I feel like that's the way Bill Belichick wants to go out, is giving a middle finger to the team that's employed him for the past 25 years and allowed him to create so many magical memories. So I'm going to pick New England -2.
And that's a Maharan T.
All right, I'll put that in a separate category of the Maharan T.
Bucks, Panthers. Man, let's go Panthers with the upset. +5.
Hell yeah.
I want it to happen.
I do too. I want chaos.
I want chaos.
All right, two more.
Let's go Bears. Wait, go ahead.
Oh yeah, never mind.
Bears Packers at Lambeau Field, 28 degrees. This is what are the stakes on this? This is a playoff stakes for.
I believe if the Packers get win, they're in, and if they lose, it opens up other teams like the Saints potentially or the Seahawks, and yeah,
let's go Bears plus three
to get in.
Let's go Bears +3.
It's kind of interesting because, like, normally be the Bears, but, like, they've already got the #1 pick, so they don't need to tank theirs. Wouldn't you rather get, like, a big win here?
Yeah, and potentially drive up Justin Fields' trade value even more.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, and then you got to do Buffalo, Miami. Last game, Miami
huge
3-point Ooh. Underdogs at home.
Hey, I mean after that last game, that's crazy. But yeah, let's go. Let's go with the chalk. Let's go. Let's go Buff minus three.
All right.
All right. So those car locks are Cincinnati, Cleveland, Cincinnati minus six, Detroit minus three, Carolina plus five, Chicago plus three, Buffalo minus three, and the Maharan T is Pats minus two.
Yeah.
All right, boys. That was a big. I mean, these are going to be some big episodes this time of year. There's a lot going down.
So much going on. Such a fun time of year.
When we see you again, we'll know who won the college title and what the playoff field is.
Yeah, we'll know our Final 14.
Let's go, man. It's time. It's time. We'll see you next week right here on Foosballs.
Bye, y'all.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.